The Gemara on Daf Mem Tesamen Aleph teaches us Rav Kahana Yavle Zuza Kitna. Rav Kahana sold linen and he received from the buyers a deposit. L'soif Yaka Kitna. And then the price of linen went up. And he wanted to back out of the deal because obviously he could get much more for his linen now. Osel kamei de Rav, so he came with a shayla to Rav. Amalei, b'maida nekitas zuzay, the amount of linen that the money that you got corresponds to, in other words, let's say he sold $1,000 worth of linen and he got a deposit of $100. So $100 worth of linen, havloi, that you must give. Vidach, but the rest, dvarim ninhu, are just words. V'dvarim ein behem mechosre emuna. And you could back out of that. Of course, the Ritva explains, even the amount that he had, that Rav said that he had to give, was only to avoid, as we learned in our Mishnah, the concept, as we learned in our previous year, of a Mishapara. And he wanted to avoid a Mishapara. The Masham, and the Shalos Tshuvos Masham, Chelek Beis, Simon Reish Chof Dalid, Divrei HaMaskel V'Hinei Guf, it's a long Tshuva, says, from here we see that when we speak about these halachas, there is no, the Gemara doesn't differentiate between different types of people. Because certainly Rav Kahana was an Adam Gadol. And even though Rav Kahana was an Adam Gadol, we don't find that our Gemara should say that there's a different halacha for Rav Kahana versus anyone else. Ditmar, and the Gemara now goes into this discussion about if there's mechusrei mana or not, what is the halacha? Ditma dvarim, if somebody just agreed to give somebody something else, Rav Amar, ein b'mishum mechusrei mana, it doesn't involve being dishonest and you could back off. Rav Yochanan Amar, yesh b'mechusrei mana, you're not allowed to back off. The Shalos Tshuvos HaRosh says that even according to the Man D'Amar, Rav Yochanan's opinion, that Dvarim Yesh Behem B'Chusrei Emunah, that's only by items where a kinyan is possible. So as we're discussing in our Shiurim, even when a kinyan is required, still, if you didn't do the halachically required kinyan, you shouldn't back out. But, says the Rosh, when you have items that are not, when you have items that there's no kinyan possible by them, for example, a davar shelo la'olam, that we learn many places in Shas, that there's no kinyan possible on a davar shelo la'olam, on a davar shein by mamish, there is no halacha. Everybody agrees that dvarim ein behem mechusrei mana. There's a question in the Rishonim if this halacha of dvarim yesh b'mishum mechusrei mana is only when the price didn't change, or, but let's say if the price changed dramatically, maybe there is no concept of dvarim. Everybody will agree that you could back out. Most Rishonim and our Gemara L'chayra is clearly a raya, don't seem to make that differentiation. Because our Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Kahana shouldn't have backed out, even though the Gemara clearly started off that the price of linen went up. The Ravid asks, how could Rav say Dvarim ein behem mishum chosre emana? Isn't there a halacha that a person has to fulfill what he says because it's considered a nether? So the Ravid says that indeed, if somebody expressed himself b'loshin nether, then he's obligated to fulfill what he said because of a nether. What happened in our Gemara is that it wasn't expressed b'loshin nether, and therefore the issue of nether is not a factor. However, the Pais can point out, as the Gemara in Masechta Nedarim teaches us, that if somebody says hein hein twice or lav lav twice, that's considered a shvua, and therefore the entire discussion of our Gemara would not be relevant. And of course you have to fulfill what you said if you said the word yes twice or you said the word no twice. The Shari Tshuva in Shar Gimel Ois Kuf Pei Gimel teaches us, if I promise my friend that I'm going to do him a favor, and then I change my mind, after I told my friend in a certain way that I will help him, and my friend relied on me, he has no right to back out of his good word. It's considered sheker. If somebody promised to give his friend a gift, even if he didn't make it into a promise, V'amar Rabbeinu Seinu, Chazal taught us that somebody who acts this way, yesh bei mishum chusrei amuna. Kalev chaveroi sameich alav, or betech boy. My friend is relying on me. Akrosha matonim netes kinosi nosin loy. He's relying that I'm going to give him what I promised I will give him. V'mish anihu, apishar tan maruba, em yachs bei Ross Rabbi Kaneda Neder. And certainly, as we just learned, says the Shari Tshuva, if what I said could be construed as a nether, the Nemela Yachel Devei Rari. The Cain, continues the Shari Tshuva, Misha Mispor Befnei Rabbim Loses Matan Al Adam. Somebody who says in front of many people that is going to give somebody a gift, V'hinu Kumas Howl Ani Devosa Bezer, and he's boasting about giving this gift. Hine Zois Kmai Haftocha. It's considered like a Haftocha V'leinochon Shiyosha B'dvorov, and it's not appropriate that he should back out of his words. Acher Sheskabed V'shawol B'dover, after he already said that he will do it. There's a series of tshuvas in the Shalos Tshuvas B'tzela Chochma and Chelek Gimel regarding this subject of Mechusar Amon. In Simen Kuf Nun Ches, he discusses the following Shaila. Reuven sees his sister, and he tells his sister, you know, your husband, my brother-in-law, doesn't look good. And his sister says, you know why he doesn't look good? He owes a lot of money. The due date for that payment is in 10 days. And he doesn't see how he will have the ability to pay that debt. So Reuven tells her, you know, I sold the field a while ago to an Akum, and he owes me a decent amount of money. If I will be successful in collecting the money, the debt that's owed to me, within these 10 days, I will give him a third of the money that I will collect, which will be enough for your husband to pay his debt. In between, the Akum did not have the ability to pay
the money he owed Reuven. So they made a compromise. The compromise was that the Akum owned the property near Reuven's house, which Reuven very much wanted that piece of property. And Reuven, he said, you know what? If I agree to give you that piece of property, will you cancel my debt? Reuven says, yes, I'll cancel the debt. And for that, now the brother-in-law comes and says, you got money. Give me the money that you promised me for to be able to pay off my debt. Reuven claims, I didn't get cash. I didn't get all the money that I was supposed to get. So what is the halacha? So the Tzela Chochma goes into a serious discussion here. The first part of his discussion is does the halacha, and we'll discuss this later, make a difference in how much money is involved to be considered a mechusar amona? And the question here is, he didn't get as much money as he expected. Would that have an effect? Moreover, he wants to suggest that whenever you're relying on an akum, wherever you're relying on an akum, there we can't say some chedate. And let's explain this a little better. The reason why if somebody gives his word, or as we learn in our Mishnah, gives money, and then he backs off, there's a problem, because the person expected that somebody will keep his word. However, if my word is contingent on an Akum's word, an Akum we don't necessarily rely on. He brings a raya that we know throughout Shasta's a halacha of divrei shchimah rak k'ksuvim k'msurim dami. But as much as the halacha throughout Shas is the divrei shchimah rak k'ksuvim k'msurim dami, the halacha still says remains that we don't say that if the divrei shchimah rak is dependent on an akum's word. So he concludes that if he's relying on an akum's word, it makes no difference if the akum owes him money from halva, or whether the akum owes him money because of a business deal. The halacha is that there's no problem with chusar amana. On the other hand, where it's a situation that if the akum won't pay, the akum will significantly suffer, then there is a factor of mechusar amana. Moreover, he says that if he connected his obligation to Tanai, and the Tanai depends on other people, could be under those circumstances, there never is a concept of mechusar amana. So essentially it seems that his opinion is that in this case, there is no factor of mechusar amana. And then he goes on in the coming tshuvas in Kuf Nun Tes, in Kuf Samach, in Kuf Samach Aleph, to continue discussing the halachos of Matanim of Mechusar Amana. If somebody told somebody that I'm going to give a gift to someone else, even though I didn't say to you I'm going to give the gift, I'm just saying I say to you I'm going to give someone else a gift, that too, he says, is included in Mechusar Amana. If somebody says Barabim publicly that he's going to do something, that and then he backs off, that's always considered a mechusar amana. It also, he says, depends on how you express yourself. And the more you express yourself in a definite manner, the more it's considered a mechusar amana. And therefore, if somebody said, "Bedas gemura," with my full das, I'm going to give this to you, that, and he then doesn't fulfill his word, that's considered a mechusar amana. If somebody promised someone else that he didn't do a favor for him, he said, "I'm going to go take care of, you have a problem, and I'm going to help you try to solve that problem," even though it didn't involve that I said I'm going to give any money, I just promised to help, that too, if I don't fulfill my promise, it's considered a mechus amona. However, if it's clear that the person who said it never really meant it, he just said it to get somebody off his back, that isn't considered a situation of mechus amona. However, the right thing is that if you say something, even where technically, if you don't fulfill what you say, it's not considered mechus amona, the appropriate thing is anyway to do what you said you will do.